Good evening, everyone. Thanks for praying for us. Some of you prayed for us when we were in Estonia and Russia the other week. Thank you very much. It was helpful. We needed it. We had some little close scrapes on various situations, and it was helpful. Thank you. Some of you said you were praying for us. That's great. So this is the last night. Aww. What a shame, eh? Is everyone ready for Christmas? Okay. Years ago, when our kids were little, my oldest is like Anne's kids now, 21. And when our Ruth and Joe were tiny, I was Santa Claus for this local Montessori preschool. They gave me this really good Santa Claus costume. And I thought I'd have a little test of our kids to see if they believed in Santa. Our Ruth was about 5 and Joe was 3. And I said to them, someone's coming to see you in a minute. Someone really important, so get ready. And they said, oh, and they're in the bedroom. Ran downstairs, put my Santa costume on quick. Ran back upstairs and holding the laughter back, So I went through the door and went, ho, ho, ho. They were like, looked a bit scared at first. But then they sort of calmed down. Their eyes were massive. And I went up to them just close enough for them to not know it was me, or I didn't know, I was looking at them, I thought, do they know it's me? They must know it's me. The speed was like hanging off, and I'd be like this one. And I said, have you been a good little girl? She said, yes. Thought, liar. And I said, have you been a good little boy? Yes. So, and I was starting to laugh and lose it, so I thought, I better get out or it's not going to work. So I said, well, make sure you are. And I left. And I ran downstairs, laughed my head off with Margaret, took the Santa Claus off quick, ran upstairs. Hiya, Eric. Have you got a joke for tonight? You're just on time.
Haven't you told one yet?
Well, I'm in the middle of a real life story, which I find it funnier, don't you? But anyway, and I came back upstairs and I opened the door. I said, "Did he come? Did he come?" And they were absolutely bouncing on the bed. They said, "Dad, Dad, come here." Ruth said, "Dad, come here. You won't believe this." I said, "What?" She said, "Santa wears exactly the same trainers as you." So there you are. Awesome. Sometimes healing in the Christian world is pushed to the side, but actually the Bible is full of it. And it is very significant. The supernatural, miraculous part of the kingdom of God is very, very important. We can't accurately represent God without power, because he's powerful. Without the Holy Spirit, without signs and wonders and miracles. From day one, God was doing miracles in the Bible. The Bible is just full of miracles. And it's just really, really, really important, as we'll see. You never forget the first time you see someone healed. Who here has actually seen someone healed in front of them? Give me a little wave. If you've seen someone healed, that's great. And obviously some haven't, but some will probably see people healed tonight. Hiya, you all right, Dean? The first time I definitely saw someone healed in front of my eyes, I was 19. I'd just become a Christian a year before, heard about the Holy Spirit, was invited to a prayer meeting at Richmond, out in the country. Someone took us in a car. We got there and I was just getting used to prayer meetings as it was. So sitting down in a circle, a few different people praying. I hadn't got to the point where I dare pray out loud yet, but I used to agree with them. Make a few like animal noises, but didn't dare say anything out loud. And then I'd never heard about people getting prophetic words or clear pictures, words of knowledge from God or anything like that. It was all totally new to me. And then once someone in the group said, "I've got a picture in my mind of an ear," and I thought, "So what are you telling us for?" And then someone else said, "I can confirm that. I've got a pain in my right ear." I thought, what are they talking about? I thought I meant to be praying. And this guy says, "Is there anyone here? Is there anyone here who's got a problem with the right ear?" And this woman, this nun, who was in the group with a little hat and everything, said, "Yeah, me. I'm deaf in my right ear." And I was just watching, thinking, what's going on? This is absolutely amazing. How did he know that? How did she know that? And why anyway? And And they said, well, we'll pray for you to be healed. Which, I mean, I was impressed with that. And if they'd said, we'll pray for you, the end of the meeting, you know, that would have been amazing to me. But what absolutely blew me away was that this guy expected it to be healed there and then. And he gets this chair and puts it in the middle of the room and says, come and sit down. And this nun comes and sits down. And he says, what happened to your ear? How long have you been deaf? She said, oh, all my life. She said, when I was a little girl, my brother was playing with a toy syringe, filled it full of water, and while I was asleep in bed, put it in my ear and completely blew away my eardrum. I've been deaf all my life in that ear. And sometimes healing in the Christian world is pushed to the side, but actually it's, the Bible is full of it. And it is very significant. The supernatural, miraculous part of the kingdom of God is very, very important. You know, we can't accurately represent God without power, because he's powerful. Without the Holy Spirit, without signs and wonders and miracles. From day one, God was doing miracles in the Bible. The Bible is just full of miracles. And it's just really, really, really important, as we'll see. You never forget the first time you see someone healed. Who here has actually seen someone healed in front of them? Give me a little wave. If you've seen someone healed, that's great. And obviously some haven't, but some will probably see people healed tonight. And you all right, Dean? I was the first time I definitely saw someone healed in front of my eyes, I was 19. I'd just become a Christian a year before, heard about the Holy Spirit, was invited to a prayer meeting at Richmond, out in the country. Someone took us in a car. We got there and I was just getting used to prayer meetings as it was. So sitting down in a circle, you know, a few different people praying. I hadn't got to the point where I dare pray out loud yet. But, you know, I used to agree with them. Make a few, like, animal noises. But I didn't dare say anything out loud. And then, I'd never heard about, you know, people getting prophetic words or clear pictures, words of knowledge from God or anything like that. It was all totally new to me. And then once someone in the group said, I've got a picture in my mind of an ear. And I thought, so? What are you telling us for? And then someone else said, I can confirm that. I've got a pain in my right ear. I thought, what are they talking about? I thought I meant to be praying. And this guy says, is there anyone here? Is there anyone here who's got a problem with the right ear? And this woman, this nun, who was in the group with a little hat on and everything, said, yeah, me. I'm deaf in my right ear. And I was just watching, thinking, what's going on? This is absolutely amazing. How did he know that? How did she know that? And why anyway? And they said, well, we'll pray for you to be healed. Which, I mean, I was impressed with that. And if they'd said, we'll pray for you, the end of the meeting, you know, that would have been amazing to me. But what absolutely blew me away was that this guy expected it to be healed there and then. And he gets this chair and puts it in the middle of the room and says, come and sit down. And this nun comes and sits down. And he says, what happened to your ear? How long have you been deaf? She said, oh, all my life. She said, when I was a little girl, my brother was playing with a toy syringe, filled it full of water, and while I was asleep in bed, put it in my ear and completely blew away my eardrum. I've been deaf all my life in that ear. You know, I was like on the edge of my chair watching, thinking, what's going to happen here? And the other thing that blew me away was that they prayed for about 20 seconds. You know, they just started to pray, Lord, please heal this ear. You've spoken about this ear. Open this ear up in the name of Jesus. And she went, oh, that's it. That's it. I can hear. And I was off my chair and, can you? And I was cynical and unbelieving like we all are, like we're brought up to be. And honestly, if it wasn't a nun, I wouldn't have believed it. If it wasn't a nun, I would have thought, this is staged, you know, this is made up. But I thought, there's a couple of golden rules in life. One is that nuns don't lie, especially when they're wearing the gear anyway, and in public. And this woman was healed, you know, totally healed. They closed her other ear and whispered and things and she could hear. You know, absolutely awesome. You know, that never leaves you. And I thought, this is absolutely fantastic. This is what we can do. And you know, within a couple of months, I was doing the same thing. I just copied him. I copied this guy. I got a chair and put it in the middle of the room. acted like I'd done this all my life, and people fell for it, and they thought I'd done it all my life, and they came and sat in the chair, and we saw people healed, because we just started praying for the sick. And you know, it's just a normal part of Christianity, actually. Mark's gospel ends like this. It says, those who believe, these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll lay their hands on sick people and they'll recover. The early church recognized that as a normal sign of a Christian. Several things you should know about Christians. One is, they lay their hands on sick people and they get better. So here's a question. If you're a Christian now, as I'm sure most of you are on the course now, when are you going to start? Or have you started? And if you have started, are you going to keep going? I want to encourage you to do that for lots of reasons. One reason is many people become Christians because of a miracle. Many people open up to God because they're healed, or they know someone who's healed, or something supernatural happens to them. Like they come off alcohol or drugs without any withdrawal instantly through the power of God. Or something internal, you know, inner healing. Inner healing's awesome, isn't it? When someone who's gone through years and years and years of counselling gets touched by God and it's over. The first Alpha we ever did, you know, back in the mid-90s, this woman who was a professional counsellor asked me if she could bring this guy on the course. She said he's, you know, unstable, he gets violent in public. I've been counselling him for years, but frankly, I've lost hope. Can you come and find out about Jesus? I said, of course you can, just don't put him in my group. And she brought him and put him in someone else's group. And, you know, he wrecked the group. I mean, he did. He was obnoxious. He was totally anti-Christ, anti-Christian, full of hell. And he was an educated man. He had books in W. H. Smith. Actually, he was a historian, and but very disturbed. His group leader used to come to me every night and say, "He's wrecking the group for everyone. Can we get rid of him?" But I sort of had a little hunch of hope about him, and I said, "Just keep one more week, one more week, one more week." Eventually, we came to the Holy Spirit Day. The day away, we were at Broccoli Hall, and he turns up on the day. We asked for the Holy Spirit to come and to do miracles and heal people and fill people. And when we prayed for the Holy Spirit to come, first few minutes, this guy falls on the floor. Someone prayed for him. Other people sat down and fell over and things, and people prayed for them. And, you know, normal Holy Spirit things. At the end of this session, he comes outside in tears to me saying, "Martin, Martin, I've met him." I said, "What's happened?" He said, "When you said, let's stand up and open our hands," he said, I just did it out of tolerance, he said, "but I was just thinking, what a load of rubbish." He said, "And I stood up, and as soon as I opened my hands, I felt waves coming over me. And I thought, oh God, oh, not depression, not now." And then I realised the waves were love and joy and peace. He said, and then, clear as day in my mind, came the picture of the face of the man who sexually abused me when I was 4 years old. He said, and Jesus spoke to me and said, "Forgive him." And I said, "I can't, Lord." And then that face disappeared, and I just had more waves of love and joy and love and joy. And then two other faces appeared. Guys from the army, who I was in the army with. I had a fight with these guys in an upstairs flat, and they pushed me out the window. I missed the grass and hit the concrete, split my head open. And I was full of hate towards them. And again I saw their faces. And Jesus said, "Forgive them." And I said, "Lord, I can't." He said, but then I just kept getting filled with love and filled with love and filled with love. To the point where in the end, I heard a little voice inside me that I knew was my own. And it said, "Lord, I'll forgive them." And that was it. Do you know what? He was free. From years and years and years and years of counselling and counselling and counselling. He told me later, every time he punched someone, he saw the face of the man who sexually abused him. And you know, that guy couldn't go out in public. The next Sunday, he was in church, stood in the middle of 400 people worshipping God. That summer, he worked in a soup kitchen for people on the streets. And he went on to start an organisation that opens homes for people living on the street. In the end, he met the Prime Minister. I thought, if they knew what a whack job he used to be, he'd have never got anywhere near the Prime Minister. Is that awesome? It's awesome. Healing isn't just physical, it's emotional and spiritual. And healing is supernatural. And something can happen for you in a moment that can absolutely transform your life, where you would have issues all your life because of them. Or it can be something as simple as getting your back healed. But how many of us know that if you've got a bad back and you get your back healed, it's awesome? All healing is awesome. Absolutely awesome. Is healing in the Bible? Absolutely. In the Old Testament, God promises these people, his people, that if they obey him and walk in his ways, he'll let none of the diseases that go on other people be upon them. He also says, I am the Lord who heals you. One of his names, I am the Lord who heals. That's who I am, part of the character of God. And throughout the Bible, we see, you know, the Old Testament I'm talking about, you see lots of interesting examples of healing. You know, one famous one is where Naaman, one of the enemies of the Lord's people, the commander of the army of Syria, has leprosy. And one of the slave girls in his house was an Israeli girl. And she, it's interesting because this little Israeli slave girl understood that her people knew about healing, that her God healed. Interesting. And she knew enough to actually say to her mistress, who was the wife of this guy who contracted leprosy. And this wife says to this husband, listen, this girl says in her land, her God heals. Why don't you go and see the prophet of God in her land? And eventually he does, goes with his army and his money and his power and all the rest, and goes, pulls up outside the house. Well, first he goes to the king of Israel, who thinks he's picking a fight with him. The king says, I can't heal. What are you coming to me for? And he eventually turns up at the house of the prophet Elijah. And he's a bit insulted because Elijah won't come out and see him. Elijah knows what he's coming for because he's heard from God. And he sends his servant out and says, tell him, if he wants to be healed of leprosy, he just needs to bathe in the River Jordan 7 times. Just dip himself 7 times. And the servant comes out and says to Naaman, this is what the prophet says, you just have to get in the water 7 times, you'll be healed. And he was knacked, he was offended. All his army's there, he's the big guy. And, you know, this is one of the keys to healing. If you want to be healed, just do what God says. If you want to be healed, just be humble. Just put yourself in a humble position. It's one of the keys. But this guy wouldn't, and he was angry and proud and started to drive off. You know, he said, haven't we got rivers in Syria? I'll bathe in one of our own rivers better than this dirty Jordan. Starts to drive off, but one of his commanders at least has the sense to talk him down, talk his anger down, and says to him, look, you know, if this guy had come out and asked you to do some big valiant thing, you'd have done it. He's just asking you to get in the river. Why don't you do it? What have you got to lose? And in the end, this guy says, all right. So he goes, strips off in front of his men, humbles himself, walks down into the water, a leper. One time in the water, still a leper. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, still a leper. 7, stands up. His skin was like a baby's skin. Totally healed. Awesome. He tried to give him money and clothes, and Elijah said, I'm not interested in money and clothes. You know, and this guy was also converted to it. He said, I'm not going to worship any of my idols anymore. I want to worship this God. This God is the living God. It's interesting, isn't it? That's just in the Old Testament. And when you come in the New Testament, of course, the ministry of Jesus is just absolutely packed full with healing. 25% of the Gospels are about healing. Someone said, wherever you open the Gospels, you'll either see Jesus healing someone, or he's just healed someone, talking about it, or he's on his way to heal someone. Jesus just healed people all the time. Jesus treat sickness as though it were an enemy. He treat illness like he treat the devil. Jesus started to preach in the synagogue, and as he did, someone who had a demon, an evil spirit, screamed, ah! Couldn't stop. Jesus rebuked the demon, shut up and get out of him. The man fell to the floor. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't. He got up, he was fine, but the demon was gone. After church, Jesus goes back to Peter's house. When they get there, Peter's mother-in-law is ill in bed with a fever. Jesus doesn't say, "Send her our love." He doesn't say, "Let's get her a get well soon card and get her some flowers, lads. Or why don't we tidy the house for her?" He didn't. Jesus marched upstairs, or into the other room. I think it was a bottom floor house. I know because I've been in this house. They know where this house was. They've dug it up with the privilege of being in it. And he marched into the room and he says he leant over her and rebuked, not her, the fever. He rebuked the fever, and exactly, it's the same Greek word. It means stranglehold, got hold of it, like he got hold of the devil, and commanded it to get out of her. Then he took her by the hand and picked her up, and she got up and she was well. And she made Sunday dinner, or Sabbath dinner, for them. And Jesus went on like that. After dinner, people started coming to the door, who were, guess what, sick. Because news like that travels fast. And he spent all night at the door, casting out demons, healing the sick. Casting out demons, healing the sick. Healing is the Jesus' sign. It's the sign that the kingdom of God has come. The king has come, who's come to destroy everything that destroys us. Jesus is our elder brother, who has come to bully all the bullies of our life. Now, what defeats human beings? I'll tell you. Number one, sin. Jesus came to defeat sin. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he offers you forgiveness and power over sin. That's why he offers you new birth and new life, so you can live a new life, so your sins won't destroy your family and your heart and your mind and your marriage and your kids and their kids and their... But it'll stop with you and you'll start to improve instead of go downhill. Jesus came to defeat sin. Secondly, he came to defeat disease, sickness. He came to defeat all the things that defeat us. Who would like to live a long life here? Who would like to live a reasonably healthy long life so that, you know, you don't die young because of disease or that you... Well, do you know what? With Jesus, I think that's possible. And I think there's only one way, actually, that's possible, and that is you keep getting healed. Because sickness is a reality of our fallen world, just like sin is. And you keep getting tempted to sin and fall into sin, and you keep getting ill. But you're to resist it and not just accept it. You're to go to Jesus to be healed of it. And more than that, you're to heal others of it. You're to keep laying hands on your kids. As well as reaching for the Calpol, reach for Jesus. As well as, I must ring the doctor. Ring the doctor as well. Nothing wrong with medicine. You know, that comes from God too. And the skill of nurses and doctors is fine. But it's limited. Medicine can only take you so far. God can take you anywhere. When medicine can do no more, God is totally unrestricted. He can do anything. Many times we've seen incurable cancer healed. Many times, often on Alpha. Pete Conroy's dad, for one. Some of you know Pete Conroy. Pete Conroy's dad came to Alpha Course. He had a cancerous growth on his testicle. He was an older guy. He was embarrassed about it and didn't want to tell anyone about it. So he didn't even ask for prayer. But on this night, the healing night, we prayed at the end. I think that night, if I remember, we all held hands and just prayed that God would heal us. He went home, still ill, still with that growth there. Went to bed, woke up the next morning, pulled the covers back to get out of bed, gone. Healed. Totally healed. There was a woman who had breast cancer. It come back the second time. She'd been to hospital once and had treatment, and she had a bad time. And she'd said to herself, if it ever comes back, I'm just going to die because I'm not going to go back for any more treatment. And it came back. And she hadn't even told a doctor. It had been back about 3 months. It was a painful lump. And she hadn't told her husband either. And she was in one of our meetings and just in the worship time, general prayer for people, general prayer of healing. Is anyone here who's sick, Lord, please heal them, please heal them. She stands up to worship, lifts her hands in worship, realises no pain, feels for the lump, no lump. Totally healed. That was 2 years ago. It's never come back. Totally healed. Jesus heals. Now, this is absolutely normal Christianity. Normal for Jesus. Normal for the 12 apostles. Jesus didn't just heal. He sent them out to heal. You two go into that town and heal them. Cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, like you do. And tell them the kingdom of God has come near. When someone gets healed, it's a sign that the kingdom of God is here. Why is it a sign? It's a sign because of this. Where we came from, where human beings came from, there was no sin, no sickness, no death. It's called the Garden of Eden, where God created our first mum and dad. We fell into sin. We've been in it through the whole of human history, but we're not staying there. Jesus is coming back. And when either you die and go to heaven, or Jesus comes back, that'll be the end of sin and sickness and everything to do with that fall of man. So it's a sign that the future's coming, that Jesus is coming. You know, and it is just a sign. It's not the fullness, is it? Because you know what? You might get healed tonight, I hope you do, but you'll die one day. Later, if Jesus doesn't come back. So the biggest healing, actually, is salvation of your soul. The forgiveness of your sins and your healing of your relationship with God. Out of that will come your ultimate healing. Your ultimate healing is called this, the resurrection from the dead. Where you get a new body that will never know any sickness or tiredness or temptation or sorrow. That's what you've got if you've got Jesus. Is that exciting? Is it exciting that that's your future? That is actually your future, you know. If you've put your trust in Jesus and been born again, and if you haven't, I'll give you an opportunity to do it tonight to make sure you don't miss out on this. This is definitely your future. Promised, signed, sealed and settled by God. I mean, whether you feel like it's going to happen or not is irrelevant. It is going to happen. You are going to be raised from the dead by Jesus. We'll see each other again, us lot. For a long time. For a long time. And all will be well. That should fill our hearts with joy and hope. That should enable us to cope with anything and even overcome anything and get on with saving and healing this world, because that is actually our future. The future isn't orange, it's Jesus. That's the truth. The healing is a sign that that truth is coming. A sign like London 100 miles. The sign isn't London, but it's pointing you in the right direction. When miracles and healings happen, it's a sign that God's real, that Jesus is alive, that he died on the cross and rose again, that he is coming back, that his word is true. It's a sign that God's with us as well. God's with us. How do people know that God's with us? What clever words? No. Power. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Jesus said to the apostles, you know, I'm going to clothe you with power from on high. Your words aren't enough. I'm going to give you supernatural power. And that power isn't to make us look good. It's to make Jesus known. And, you know, throughout church history, there's lots of examples there in your book of healings and miracles right the way through church history. All the lives of the saints and everything show that miracles and healings happened all the time. And Jesus sent out the 12, he sent out the 72, he sent out all disciples to go and do what he did and taught us to do what he did. So healing is very significant and very important. And it's a sign that Jesus is coming back again and that the kingdom of God is here. There are two trains running together side by side right now. One train is the kingdom of this world, and the other train is the kingdom of God. And you can cross over trains. One train track is going to end, the other won't. The important thing is that you get off the normal train of human life while you can and step across into these easily opened doors into the kingdom of God now, which will go on forever. This world as we know it has an end date. It does. Life won't go on forever. It's great to see Christmas, and there'll be next Christmas maybe, but not definitely. Because the Bible says God has set a day, and it's an actual date, where he'll judge the world. Jesus will come back, and it'll be the end of evil. And it'll be the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. This is serious, and it'll happen. It hasn't happened yet, because it's a historical moment where all the dead will be raised. If you're dead, you're coming back. Mother Teresa, Hitler, everyone who's done anything good or bad will all be raised, and Jesus will judge us. That's important and significant for us. It's important we've come to Christ while we can. You know, this is the end of the Alpha Course. For this little door of opportunity is shutting tonight. It is. And it's important that you've taken a step into the kingdom of God while you can. And to make sure that you can. I want to ask you a question. Do you know now that you're going to heaven? And that your sins are forgiven? And that you're right with God? If not, you need to. And you can. It's foolish not to prepare for the future. You know, if you're getting on, you need to prepare for your retirement. That's good. But are you prepared to stand before God? That's more important. Much more. So, healing is a sign of that. That's just true. And you know, we could tell stories all night about people getting healed. I told you on the Holy Spirit Day about a couple of things that happened for me recently, which is significant. I was in Spain a little while ago. And I'll tell these two because I think they're significant in what they teach about healing. And I've got used to praying for people who are sick. And I want to encourage all of you to do it. Because it's not just an evangelist's job. It's just a Christian's job. Give opportunity for people to pray for the sick. And does everyone get healed? No. Is everyone healed every time you pray? No. Everyone was healed who Jesus healed. But I'm not Jesus. I'm just one of his little followers. We're just learning. But I know this, that if you don't pray, definitely no one gets healed. And sometimes people get healed absolutely instantly, which shocks them and you. And it's just awesome. You know, I told you about that woman the other day. I was in Darlington. I've jumped from Spain, haven't I, Darlington? I'll go back to Spain in a minute. When I was in Darlington, and this woman, I'm back at that church this Sunday night, and this woman who's just started coming to church, her daughter actually was a heroin addict, and she was desperate, walked past the church and just walked into the building, just desperate for some help. Had a conversation with the minister and gave her life to Christ, and actually began to get better very quickly. She brought her mum to church, and she'd been coming a couple of months. Her mum had absolutely chronic arthritis, was on two sticks and hobbled along with the help of her husband. That's how she was in this meeting. And I said, "Has anyone like prayer for the sick? Come forward." There's a queue of about 30 people at the front, and I could see she was in a lot of pain. So I had a few guys and women there to pray for people. So I thought, I'll go to her to make it quick for her, because she sat down actually on the front pew of this church because she couldn't stand up. So I went up to her. I said, "You all right, dear?" I said, "Shall I pray for you?" She said, "Yes, please." I said, "Do you want to stand up while I pray?" And she looked at me like, "Not really." I said, "Do you want to stay sat down?" She said, "Yes, please." She's obviously in agony. I said, "What is it?" She said, "Arthritis." I said, "Where does it hurt?" She said, "Everywhere, but my hands, my back, my hips." I said, "Right, let's pray." And I just said, "In the name of Jesus." I actually pictured myself getting hold of it like that, like Jesus did that demon and that thing. I pictured myself getting hold of it on top of her head and pulling it off her. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command this arthritis to get off this woman tonight." And I was going to keep praying, but I opened my eyes and I saw her looking up at me like that. I said, "Has something happened?" She said, "The pain's gone." I said, "Where from?" She said, "My hands." I said, "Anywhere else?" Because she said about her back and hips. She said, "My heart." She started to cry. I thought, this woman's been healed. She'd walked up to the front like this, with her husband helping her, and sat down on the pew like this. She was looking up at me. I said, "Do you think you can stand up?" She went, "Ah!" and burst out crying. She said, "It's gone, it's gone, the pain's gone." Her husband comes running, a daughter comes running, the pastor comes running. I don't know where they're running. No, they all ran to her, and they were getting hold of her and stuff. She was crying her eyes out. And I was trying to find out what exactly had happened. I said, is this good? Is this good? She said, I'm not in pain. She didn't know what to do with herself. She was in shock. I said, how long have you been in pain? She said, since 1993. Every single day of my life. My wife was there. She was talking to her a little bit. She said, what would you be doing now normally? She said, I'd be lying on the settee in agony with my hands swollen. She said, look at them. Hands weren't swollen anymore. She'd lost the swelling in her hands as well. We're all absolutely overwhelmed. She's totally healed, this woman. Totally healed by Jesus in a second. Isn't it awesome? Her husband had his wife back. She said, I'm going to go dancing. I'm going to go up the hills. I'm going to go for walks. She's just got her life back from Jesus. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. And the great thing about that is, you know, we're as shocked as they call it signs and wonders, because we all wonder, whoa! See, it's not me.
Yes. Did you get a photograph of that?
That's ridiculous. No, it's a wonder to all of us. We all go, whoa, God, you're awesome. The scary thing is, do you know I've finished many a sermon without saying, would anyone like any prayer for this to who is sick? Could have not done it that night. Pressure for time, better leave it. Let's just pray. It's important, isn't it? Or she might not have come forward. And do you know something? She wouldn't have been healed. She wouldn't. Because it takes the mixture of those dynamics of faith and prayer and the Holy Spirit and God. Her coming forward does something, you see. It does. And often we come forward just for prayer instead of for healing. Don't expect to be healed. We're on the Christian thing. Well, we go forward, get a little blessing, go back. We don't really expect a mighty miracle to happen. We should expect mighty miracles to happen, shouldn't we? When I was in Spain the other week, this guy, one of the elders of the church, I told you, had done massive ligament damage a couple of days before. The doctor, he had a pot on. The doctor said, you're going to be 2 months on sticks and 2 months still off work. 4 months off work. He came forward, and again, there was a bunch of people there, and he was stood at the back, but I could see he was in pain. He was sweating, just standing with crutches, you know. So I thought, I'll go and pray for him first. And I couldn't speak Spanish, so I wasn't going to keep walking about. Other people who could speak Spanish could do that. So I thought, I'll just go and stick with him and get an interpreter in. So then I went and prayed for him, and again, you know, same old thing. What's wrong? And I got from the interpreter, ligament damage. I said, you're obviously in pain now. Yeah, I'm a lot of pain. Okay. Touched the pot. In the name of Jesus, I just command these ligaments to be healed. And I said, okay, have a little go. Put a little bit. And he said, thank you. And was just going back to his seat. No expectation to be healed whatsoever. One of the elders of the church. Just getting a bit of prayer. I said, hang on a minute. I said, should we keep going? Because I've got nothing to do. If you've got anything to do, should we just keep praying a little bit? And let's see if we can get it better. Now, honestly, he looked at me as though, you're a wacko. You know, and we prayed again. And I said, put your bit of weight on it. And he went, oh, no. Not better. Let's pray again. I'm not doing anything, you're not doing anything. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. It's about 20 minutes. Sixth time, seventh time. By about the fifth or sixth time, I think it began to dawn on him that I actually hoped that something was going to happen. And then I think he began to get a bit of faith. Five or six times putting weight on it. Pain. After the seventh time we prayed, I said, we'll call it a day after this. Just put a little bit of weight on it, see if it's any getting any better. And he went, oh, a little bit better. I said, great, well, let's keep praying. Jonathan, you keep praying for me, can't be bothered. I'm going over here. I prayed for a couple of other people. And then I saw him at the back of the church running round, totally healed. He picked his wife up. He'd forgot his sticks, picked his wife up, still got the pot on, picked his wife up and ran to the front and got on the microphone and told them all very flamboyantly in Spanish that God's healed me. He was running around the car park chasing his kids around the cars. It was a good laugh, this guy. But he was healed. And that was a learning curve for me as well. Because you know what? I don't know how many times I've prayed for someone once, maybe twice. Well, bless you. Hope it gets better. See you later. Sometimes you just need to persevere, don't we? If you've got 10 minutes, let's pray for 10 minutes. Let's just keep praying and keep trying and keep praying and keep trying. And obviously, those ligaments were mending as we were praying. Obviously, that leg was getting better, 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 till it was better. You know, even Jesus prayed twice once. That story of the blind man, you know, gets rid of everyone. Jesus is not a showman, is he? Gets rid of everyone, takes him to a quiet place on his own, spits on the floor, makes a bit of mud. I don't know how Jesus got these ideas. Rubs the mud in it. Did he rub the mud in his eyes? Did he spit on his eyes? I can't remember. He did something dramatic. And then says, open your eyes, what do you see? And the guy says, I can see people, but they look like trees moving around. And it said, Jesus prays a second time. That's helpful for us. And then he said, now what do you see? And he saw everything perfectly healed. So I always think, if Jesus prayed twice, well, we can pray plenty of times, can we? Until we're healed. And sometimes, you know, you pray and you don't get healed, you know, but you just keep going. Because one day you might. You just might. Or you might have a problem that just you forget when it went, but you don't have that problem anymore. I think my wife's back was like that. You know, when we were younger, Margaret had a really bad back. She had scoliosis. And she's had 9 kids with scoliosis, but no pain. And no, you know, it just got better. And she got a prayer over a period of time, a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer. When Graham was first saved, he used to come around our house blind as a bat. I used to pick him up downtown and beep, Graham, huh? Graham, huh? Graham, huh? He used to come out, he used to say, who's that in the corner? I said, it's just a couple of lasses. He said, they're good looking. I'd say, one of them is. No. And, you know, he didn't know anything. You know, I remember going, taking him to his testimony once in this place. And we were getting some dinner. And he said, whoa, these chips are big. I said, Graham, the parsnips. And he was putting some gravy on his plate. He was putting some gravy on his plate like that. I said, Graham, there's more gravy on that plate than the plate can handle. And the gravy poured all the way back to his seat. Blind as a bat, but he kept going forward. He had a special phone, couldn't drive. Because of being on the bench and all that, what's the thing at the back of your eye? Your retina or something was decayed, you know, it was gone. But he kept getting prayer. His eyes just got better, till perfect, healed. Drive again, see everything perfectly. God heals, doesn't he? You just got to keep going. Keep praying. Keep getting prayer. We're expecting to get better. We're Christians. We're going to get so better. We're going to get resurrection bodies. And we're going to die one day. But do you know what? For us, no big deal. The Bible says Jesus has took the sting out of death. So it's not very pleasant death. But for a Christian, it's only a bit of sleep. We'll see each other again, won't we? See you in the morning. That's what we say to the kids. See you in the morning. That's what we said to Margaret's mum when she died, because she was a believer. We'll see you in the morning, and we will. You know, if a wasp lands on you, it's not very nice. But if you know someone's took the sting out of that wasp, it ain't so bad. For the Christian, death ain't so bad. Because Jesus has took the sting out of death. He's conquered it. He's died, risen again. He's alive. So, and that's why people get healed. So should we pray for the sick now? So who is sick here? Who's in pain right now with anything? Or
slightly in the toe, actually.
Oh, yeah, in your toe.
I've got a lot of joint problems in the migraines, which we prayed for.
Oh, yeah, we did. Have they got better since you prayed or not?
There has been a small improvement.
Oh, yeah, we prayed for your arm as well, didn't we? How's your arm doing?
It's a lot better.
Is it?
I don't wear my strap as often as I used to. I still wear it.
Yeah.
But that's obviously when I've been doing a lot of work.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, we'll pray again tonight, eh, and see if it can be finished off. Finish off the healing, that's great. So should we... And if you've got some words of knowledge, come up here and share them. That's awesome. Thank you.
Can I just say first that I believe it's important to have childlike faith because